Hi, everybody. Welcome to Blockbusting, the podcast where we love to hate the movies. I'm your host, Jay Light. Joining me today, it's my new friend, Philip Smithy.
Hey, yo. What's up, everybody?
Philip Smithy, man. In the house. Philip Smithy in the house, in his house, in my house.
My house.
We're all in the house of hating the Green Knight, though, and that's what we've come to talk about today.
You titled this Philip Smithy Hates the Green Knight, right? That's what,
yes,
Mark Snell said. That's so, I'm like, all right, I just want to put it out there right away that I would work with any of these people.
Oh, of course. Steps,
you know, I don't want it spread all over the internet that I hate these things necessarily. But yes, do I have a problem or two with the film? Yes. Although that isn't as catchy a title. Philip Smithy has problems with the Green Knight.
It's, yeah, definitely not as catchy. It's not as, you know, we thrive on hot takes, okay?
Sure do.
Philip has problems with the Green Knight is like, oh, it's a little bit more lukewarm, but hey, yeah. I will say this. I've not seen a whole lot of the work of David Lowery. I've seen two movies of his. I've seen this and I've seen A Ghost Story. And as far as I'm concerned, he's 0 for 2.
Oh my gosh.
I absolutely despised A Ghost Story. That's one of my least favorite movies of all time. Almost walked out.
I totally forgot about that. That's got Casey Affleck and Rooney Mara.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have I
seen anything else of his?
Let's see. He did Pete's Dragon. He did the Pete's Dragon live action, which actually looked pretty cool.
Haven't seen that. It's a movie, I guess, but it's got Bryce Dallas Howard and Robert Redford. He gets some good casts together. I'll say this, like, someone, you know, you really believe in someone when you are able to get top-notch talent, because The Green Knight has top-notch talent.
It really does.
All over it. You can't ask for a better cast than you were given.
Yeah. I mean, you got Dev Patel, Alicia Vikander, yeah, Joel Edgerton, Sarita Chowdhury.
Yeah.
It's a great cast, and I think it has, as far as I'm concerned, it has the trappings of being a good movie, but I had some problems with it. You had some problems with it. I want to hear what your experience was like seeing this movie for the first time.
All right. So I went to the movie theater with my wife, who is a businesswoman, right? I say that, I preface it that way, because that means that she does not come from a world of like theater and storytelling. She's not going to remember her eighth grade English class, no, where we may have possibly read this, you know, this poem. I am one of the nerds who does kind of remember that stuff. So I went into this movie having a little bit of backstory in my head of what this could possibly be about. But when I put that away and really just saw the movie through her eyes, that's when I noticed, oh my gosh, this movie is failing so badly. Because to someone that doesn't know anything about the poem or the story and is coming into this as like a new spectator who wants to have a story told to them, then they're really not getting that experience. They're just kind of going into this weird, dark world that doesn't even so much as give you the shot that's on the main poster. And by that, I mean,
it's true,
the main
with
poster
him
showcases him triumphantly holding his axe like he did something with it, and that shit just never happened.
No, this movie is not about a triumphant,
yes,
hero. This is a story about a medieval fuckboy.
It's a major mislead of a film, and that is a problem, right? Like, a film seem to do that, and sometimes we recognize it, and sometimes we're happy about that when a film throws us off the scent. Mm-hmm. But I think this time it did not engage us enough when it threw itself off the scent. It should have given us a little more of the scent.
Yeah, I think we could have used some scent. I mean, I'm coming from this story as the same position as your wife, where I had no foreknowledge of this poem that it was based on. I think we probably like we were in my high school. We were like Canterbury Tales. That was like the old English stuff that we were reading. We never did any Sir Gawain and King Arthur stuff. But this whole story, it didn't feel. When you think of a knight and you think of a tale of like a knight going on this journey, you kind of want somebody who doesn't feel like a coward the entire story.
Right.
That's the thing that I felt like I was the most saddened by watching this movie. Cause like, so my girlfriend had seen it the weekend before I went to go see it.
Okay.
And she saw it with another friend of ours, who he and I tend to have similar taste in movies. And she was like, Robbie really liked this movie. You're probably going to like this movie. And then I told her that I saw it and I was like, I'm not impressed. And she was like, I was like, I don't like it. He's a coward. I don't like the, I don't like the character. I don't dislike Dev Patel's portrayal of the character. I think Dev Patel does a good job.
It's an incredible job. Like I will say this. I have no problem with any of the performances in this thing. And I actually have nothing but admiration for the cinematography. It's shot beautiful.
It is. It's every frame a painting, right? Yes.
But the thing is, stories are stories. And we go to a movie to see a story told. And if, as far as that's concerned, like if it's a bad story, it's a bad story. Now, another thing I was having an issue with initially was, I was like, these people all live in the same place. Can we please all agree on what this guy's called? Because, you know, King Arthur was calling him like, Dolan. I'm like, come on, you guys. You all know what to call him. Please call him the same thing. Right? I found that was pretty fascinating, first and foremost. But now what I understand of the story is that like, and this is not based on what it was telling me. This is based on what I, my own research, right?
Your own nerd deep dive.
My own neat nerd decoding is that the mom was trying to basically get this baby bird out of the nest by putting him through these trials, right?
So yeah.
She's with this witch lady, and she's going to kind of do this to her son because apparently he's like a fuckboy. Now, I don't know what's so different about him from what everyone else was doing necessarily. I mean, they all live in that castle. I'm sure he's not the only one ordering like a lady from the brothel. And no, by the way, he's a regular, like they're practically boyfriend and girlfriend. So
yeah.
Like he's all over the place, just, you know, slinging dick all over. Like it doesn't match.
No, he's definitely seeing just her all the time, to the point where there's a whole scene where she's like, am I going to be your lady?
Am I going to be your lady?
Am I going to be your lady? Like,
and he's like, thank you so much for sharing. Like, he swerved her so well. It was like, that takes skill. But this whole time, like, he's just trying to, I guess, basically what, live his life? And his mom's like, well, you know what? No, I'm going to help my son by killing him? Question mark?
By summoning a weird nature knight man, some sort of a tree being who he has to. By the way, he really fucks up when he decapitates him. Like, this happens so quick in the movie, and he's like, even the Green Knight's like, you don't have to do whatever the blow is, it will be returned in kind. And yeah. Gawain, like an idiot, decapitates the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you really, I guess maybe he wasn't listening, or maybe he just thought, oh, well, you know, but if I kill him, then I win, right? Like, is that, if for someone that has not done this before, why is his first instinct to kill the thing?
I think it's such a huge mistake that clearly proves that he has no business being a knight of the round table at all. Like, right. He's dumb. He's a dumb coward.
And was it green? The whole thing's called the Green Knight. Was he green? I feel like he was like brown.
Yeah.
Like a moss something something.
He's like the tree bark knight.
Yeah. Now, what I really want to get into is about, on top of this story, which really feels like, you know, some sort of, it feels like an RPG game, mm-hmm. right? Because he goes on this quest. But the problem is, it's a movie that's filled with a bunch of pointless side quests. You know, like how you're playing a video game and like you can just do this one mission or you can just go on all these side missions.
Yeah. If you want to go off and collect.
He's going off collecting all the extra rubles and stuff. And like it's nothing but side missions that make no sense and give me nothing but questions. The Giants.
What the fuck was up with the Giants? I don't know what's going on with the Giants.
What was that? Can we just follow them? Are they here? Like, who are they? Where are they going? Just give me the movie about the Giants. Like, I really was like, oh, really do that though, do you? Like, I was like, why? What mixed message are we trying to get from this? Why would just leave the Fox out of it or make the Fox talk the whole time?
There are so many other things I wish the Fox could have explained to us too. The Fox could have explained the Giants. The Fox could have explained why Sir Gawain gets a hand job and comes on his belt.
Why do we need to see that?
I don't know.
How long it's been since I've seen Sploosh in films and theater?
Dude, I remember the last time. I was shocked when I saw that. I can't believe they got that into the movie.
I know. Like, the movie's pretty long. And the fact that it's like, I can just see the editor being like, now we got to keep the sploosh in, you guys.
We got to keep that in.
Important storytelling element.
I was wondering why this movie was rated R, given how little actual blood there is.
Yeah.
Like, even there's this part where he has, like, the very end, they have that dream sequence, right? Where it's capped off with him, Dev Patel, getting his head removed. It just falls off. But right. It's like a cartoon level of violence because there's no blood squirting out. It's just like video game. Oh, the polygons didn't finish rendering.
Yes.
We're just going to see this neck wound.
Right.
And they kept, I feel like David Lowery's like, we're keeping that splooge in just so we can make sure we keep that R rating. This is the most prestigious splooge of all time.
Yes. It's only the finest of splooge. And his guys worked super hard on it. It's probably half CGI.
Oh yeah.
It's quarter Jergens, a little bit of water, some CGI, some
they brought in the finest special effects guys just to make sure that looked as realistic as possible.
And Oscar performances from Dev Patel with that 13th century cum shot face.
Oh my god. Yeah, the 13th century money shot.
I just want to know what, like, when he read that in the script and he was like, ah, yes, I know what I'm going to do for this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's going to be like a shaky one, perhaps. Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, I mean, if he gets nominated for any sort of awards for this role, that's got to be the scene. That's the one leading up to it.
Should be. And another thing, once again, the side missions. What was the point of the headless girl?
Yeah, we got to talk about the headless girl.
The headless girl. I just don't, like, once again, and I feel like I'm going to say this repeatedly, what was the point of that? You know, like, how in a lot of movies, when they say that, like, a movie doesn't have any superfluous moments, right? Mm-hmm. Like, say it's a perfect story. Like, I don't know, a lot of people are citing Parasite, right, as a really, really, as a heralded movie.
Right.
For storytelling, for how well it's done, for, like, no wasted moments, everything is, like, cool and matters. Mm-hmm. This is the direct opposite of that. Like,
yeah,
so much didn't matter. Sploosh shot did not matter. Like,
that's all anyone should be talking about in this movie. Yeah. Is how disjointed, and it's almost like it's trying to achieve meaning by having these moments happen where, like, okay, yeah, we're supposed to be seeing moments where Sir Gawain as a character shows a little spine, is experiencing a little bit of growth, but he's still doing it the whole time with this attitude, like he's picking up dog shit for the first time, and he's just like, ew, I get this away from me. No, thank you. I'm grossed out by this.
And yet the whole time he's like, I'm going to be brave. I'm going to do this. I'm going to, like, do this mission. that he never wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And you just got to wonder, like, why did you can do it? Why'd you do it? Because it's not like his mom was like, you need to do this.
No. She doesn't say anything about it.
She didn't say shit. No one said shit. No one was making him do this.
She cast a spell on her son, and she didn't even tell him that that was what was going on.
No one asked him. No one freaking asked him.
It's a mind-boggling movie that, by the way, is, I cannot emphasize enough, one of the most critically acclaimed movies of this year.
Yeah, it's been a hard year, obviously, for everybody. I don't know.
It has.
I mean, it's been, it's been a hard time. Like, I think we do this about a lot of our critically acclaimed movies, though. Because I remember back when, what was it? When, like, I think American Hustle, was like this critically acclaimed movie. And I think a lot of people can look at that movie now and be like, oh, that was all right. Like, what, we were really on this movie's like nuts.
That happens, man. I feel that way about Slumdog Millionaire, another Deb Patel movie.
Oh, sure.
Because we all got swept up in that. And I was, for a long time, was like, oh, that's the best movie of the year for sure. And then I watched it again. I was like, oh, this is fine.
Yeah. The movie's fine. You know what it is? But the all the unnecessary moments, because I was actually watching this thing online out the other day. And you remember the band? This is going to seem so, so random, but follow me. Do you remember the band System of a Down?
Of course I remember System of a Down. Yeah.
Like, Stop Suey, BYOB.
Right.
These guys who are like incredible musicians. Like, I loved all their music. I loved all their stuff.
Okay.
And I didn't know what it meant as a kid. I just thought it sounded really cool, right? Like, when you're like, wake up, put a little brush in, put a little makeup. You know, like,
right.
Following all that stuff. I recently watched this interview from the lead singer that's like, oh yeah, our lyrics, like, they didn't make any sense. Like, because they had this producer, Rick Rubin.
Oh yeah, one of the great producers.
And Rick Rubin apparently just told him, he's like, you know, just grab a book from the bookshelf. Just pick any book. Now just open any page. And what does it say? And then whatever, like, the book said just became one of the lyrics, like, Father, please, you know, I come in my spirit. Father, why have you forsaken me? Because he picked up the Bible. But that was just a random book he picked up. Like, he wasn't thinking about it. It's just like, oh, this sounds cool. That's like, that's right. I feel like that is the school of storytelling that we are getting with The Green Knight. We're just doing a bunch of shit. It kind of looks cool, right? Mm-hmm. It does. It looks amazing. We're just putting it in this witch's brew, you know, eye of newt, leg of toad, conjuring it up and being like, oh, you know what would be great? Some fucking, like, giants. Where are they going? I don't know.
But it's going to be foggy. It's going to look great. Yeah.
Why are they there? Who cares?
I feel like that's kind of the thing that David Lowery does as a director based, like, again, I've only seen two of his movies, but he's making stuff that's purely focused on style over substance. And I was just talking about this in another episode. I tend to generally like movies where that happens.
For sure. But
I think the movies that do have style over substance that I really like still have substance. Yes. And it's not a story that has characters that I just like. I don't like anybody in the story. I can't vibe with anybody.
I have to like the people in the story. And it's not like he was winning any points, really, for sure. I'm too from the school of, hey, show me, don't necessarily tell me, right?
Right.
Like, show me this story. But the thing is, it wasn't showing me like a cohesive story. Like, I don't know what was happening. The whole it was like watching Cats.
Yeah.
You know, I saw that on Christmas with my mom, and, you know, she's high and I'm not. And she and asked me, she's like, what's a Jellicle cat again? And I couldn't help myself. I literally just start crying because I'm like, I don't fucking know what's happening.
Well, a Jellicle cat is a Jellicle cat. Of course, we all know that. They say that a bunch of times. at least they say, hey, Jellicle Cat's a Jellicle Cat. And we don't know what it means, but like, cool, we can get behind this world that they're creating for themselves.
And I actually, I remember the third time that movie was going to end, or I thought it was. And then,
You
know, Dame Judi Dench just has one more little tidbit to add. And I'm just like, can I please? I just want to go home. I just want to go.
But I felt more entertained by Cats than I did by The Green Knight.
Yeah.
Which is something I never thought I would say.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Because they keep it moving. They keep it like, you know, there's lots of action. There's something to see.
Mm-hmm.
Green Knight, as beautiful as it is cinematically, it's like, I feel like the cinematographer went to school in a house of just like, hey, close this closet door and whatever sliver of a shadow you see, that's the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Super dark. And you're just like, okay, cool. I'm just in this closet and this shrouded in darkness with you guys. And whatever thing I can barely make out seems to be like the focus point. It's definitely a different method of storytelling.
Yeah. And I'm not sure. Again, this is something that might be because it's based on an epic poem instead of on something that's a little bit more concrete, right? But it feels it's almost too nebulous for its own good. I think it needs just something that's a little bit more, it's got to be something a little bit more visceral, and I feel like I have no reason to care about Gowan's fate in this story.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
He's assigned to it. I just don't think it's worth.
Who did you feel like you cared about in that story? I think the only person I really cared about was his little prostitute friend.
Yeah, I think Alicia Vikander's character, who, by the way, she's the best part of this movie by far, because she's the only one who I care about. And he's treating her like shit the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you're like, okay, he needs to fail.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that. I did not expect him to shun her and be like, oh, I'm just going to take this baby and go. And like all that's, I did not see all that stuff coming. I was like, okay, cool. If he's becoming a bigger person, then we want to see him choose the right path, which is to do right by the people that around him that he cares about.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that like the way to bring honor to his whatever? But it, no.
I guess. But that's the thing. It's like, I mean, I'm looking at some of the critical reviews of this movie, and it's mind-boggling that people are finding things like this in the movie. The RogerEbert.com's Brian Tallarico, 4 out of 4 stars, one of the most memorable films of the year, a fascinating swirl of masculinity, temptation, heroism, and religion.
Oh, God. Is that right?
I don't think any of that's right.
Heroism?
Heroism? Masculinity?
I mean, he's got a luscious beard. Does that count?
I guess. Oh, there's a lot of great beards in this movie.
A lot of incredible.
I had a lot of beard envy watching this movie.
Well, he's a man. Like, mm-hmm. he's a man. Like,
yes.
I love watching. Every time he comes on the screen, I'm like, yes. I really enjoy him.
I would have been... You know what would have been interesting now that I'm thinking about it? I wonder what this movie would have been like if Joel Edgerton and Dev Patel had switched roles.
Dev Patel playing the like the playful, you know, benefacting guy?
Yeah.
Joel Edgerton's journey. Well, Joel Edgerton, he's too old to be like the young buck knight trying to get his stripes. Maybe in his Star Wars days, he could have done that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I feel like you're probably what I would much rather have seen, though, because Dev Patel, I think he does play that sort of like impish, sprightly kind of guy better than he's playing like a sort of sad, like resigned person who doesn't know what he wants.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's. I would love to have seen, if we're going with another actor playing this role, what's, oh God, I can't believe I'm forgetting his name right now. He was in Sound of Metal. Oh God.
Did you see Sound of Metal?
Riz Ahmed, yes. I would have loved to have seen Riz Ahmed play this role, because he could play that sort of He's got that squirrely vibe to him where he's definitely like, there's something underneath bubbling under the surface always that I feel like we would have felt that for some reason it was just, I just didn't feel it the way that, as good of a performance Dev Patel put on, I feel like he needs that extra, like that we know that he's hiding something instead of just being like blasé.
And you know, you put up a good point because I hadn't thought about, you know, what other actors could bring to this because I really do like Dev. But now that I'm thinking about it, I feel like because liking the person is such a big factor and Dev Patel's like, is he so believable in his like, hey, I just care about myself sort of, you know, fuckboy essence, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe you need someone who does that but has a little bit of that comedic element so that you still like them. You know, like a almost like if Hugh Laurie was 25, like, and he kind of brought his like Dr. House, you know, like I'm kind of a prick and only care about myself, but it's because I'm witty and smarter than people, and that's why, like, so you kind of enjoy me. Maybe an actor who's kind of a little bit of a dick, but you like it. Right?
Yeah, I think Dev Patel is a great serious actor. I mean, I know he starred in some comedies. He was in Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, and his performance, I would argue that Chappie is as close to a comedy as it's going to get too.
Wow.
But he doesn't play comedy correctly, I think. Like, he's too serious to give Gowan the lightness and cowardice I think he needs.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe that's it. Maybe it's like we just need to, if everything else is serious around him, then a good comic actor can like rise to the occasion, but still that essence, right?
Yeah.
Like, kind of like how when they redid Back to the Future and they put in Michael J. Fox, right? Because he was just light enough to not take this situation too seriously. Like,
exactly.
Time to see his parents, like, which would freak anybody out in real life. But he kind of took it with just a little bit of that, like, lightheartedness. Maybe that's it. Maybe we just need Michael J. Fox to do this role.
Maybe. Let's get Michael J. Fox to go back to go do this instead.
Yeah. Michael J. Fox. Like, yeah. I'm something there. I think Michael J. Fox.
I think that'd be great.
When he cut off the knight's head, he'd be like, oh, wait, was I supposed to do that? You know, like...
No.
Michael, darn it.
Well, I think, and by the way, he would definitely play the hand job scene way better than...
Oh, my God.
Patel did.
We'd be like, we'd be talking about the hand job scene for years, being like, no one gives a hand job scene.
That's the gravitas we need is Michael J. Fox.
That is.
But that's why I think Riz Ahmed would do so good in this. Because, like, the first movie I ever saw Riz Ahmed in was Four Lions. Have you ever seen Four Lions?
No, but the first one I ever saw him in was freaking Nightcrawler, and he was brilliant.
Yeah, he's great in Nightcrawler. And he's so, like, he's funny in Nightcrawler. Yeah, Nightcrawler's a funny movie.
Rick, vote for Rick. I need money. Vote for me. Yeah, for sure.
Dude, Four Lions, and I'm saying this to you and also to the podcast listeners, if you haven't watched it. So it's a movie, it's a satire made by the guy who'd made Black Mirror, and it follows four British Muslim guys who decide they want to become Muslim extremists, go to like a training camp in Syria, and it's just like a bumbling Islamic extremism farce, and like they try to set up a bombing at the London Marathon, but they can't do it. They keep fucking it up. It's great.
That sounds fantastic. Okay, I definitely need to check that out.
It's really good. Yeah, Riz Ahmed's one of the leads in it. There's some really great. It's just fantastic satire. It's really well made.
That's cool. That's cool. I dig that.
Yeah,
and we do need a better example, someone that can actually do that, because I think so far we've just come up with Michael J. Fox, who can't do it. Jill Edgerton, who also can't do it. Well, you know what? You know who'd be good in this role? Abraham Lincoln. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. You know who'd be good in this role? John Wilkes Booth. One of the best fuckboy actors of all time.
of all time. Yeah.
Well, hey, listen, Philip, I don't know if there's anything else that we could do to fix this movie. So, like, what should people watch instead? I mean, I'm throwing Four Lions out there, but what do you think people should watch?
I mean, let's see. Of Dev Patel's, what else have I seen him in recently? Oh, I just saw him in the David Copperfield movie.
I heard that was pretty good.
And by the way, because I did not know that there was another David Copperfield, I kept waiting for him to do magic the entire time. That does not happen. It is not about that David Copperfield. It's still a really, really good movie. As far as those fantasy films, man, how many fantasy films do you know? I feel like just go watch Harry Potter again, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not much of a fantasy genre type person anyway. But if you're going to go with an Arthurian story, I'm going Monty Python and the Holy Grail too.
There it is. That's the one right there. Yeah. You can't go that one. That one's extremely satisfying.
Yeah.
The whole time.
You can't go wrong.
Like, the story actually still makes sense. As crazy and silly as it is, you're following the plot point from A to B to C, even if you do not have any context. You cannot watch The Green Knight without context and totally know what's going on. Like, seriously, when Gawain's aunt started having, like, visions in her eyes, I was like, oh, so she's a witch too. Like, I had so many questions all damn day about everything, like what was going on. And then that scene where you just literally pass an entire fresh field full of dead bodies from battle.
Yeah.
And like, has anyone seen this? Is this
where did all this come from?
is this something we need to be worried about? Like, something happening?
Did Barry Keoghan and his group people do all of this? Did they murder all these people? What's happening?
So did someone's mom/aunt send them here on a quest? Is he the only kid that goes on these quests? and then the Green Knight promised, like, hey, after, when this is all said and done, we'll all, like, eat, drink, and be merry together, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That still happening? Because he thinks that he cut his head off at the end.
Yeah.
What is it like? I just want to see the mom's face after he gets his head cut off. Like, oh, shit. Like, yeah.
That should have been the post-credit sequence.
That should have been, yeah, like the Avengers, right?
Yeah.
Like, madam, it's done. Oh, good. He's becoming a man now? No, he's dead. Like,
yeah.
Oh, got it. Thank you so much.
The guy you made to kill your son, he actually killed your son.
Right. But wait, are you saying that the fox didn't stop him?
No. No,
the fox is way too vain. Not help.
You wasted all your magic on the guy who's murdered your son.
Yeah. Oh, but Joel Edgerton character, he didn't help him either? No, he actually led him straight towards his death.
Yeah, he also there was a lady who he turned on your son who came on a belt.
Right. A belt that you gave him to protect him, but that you also sent a character to make him take it off.
Very confusing.
Just so you know.
Oh, my God. Philip, where can the listeners find you if they somehow disagree with you on The Green Knight?
If they disagree with me, they can file their complaints in the trash can.
There you go. Tell them.
Come find me at Philip Smithy on IG. And then be sure to tune in to watch Johnson every Sundays on the Bounce TV network or on the Brown Sugar app if you're going to stream it on your phone. Johnson, that's Sundays at 8, 7 Central.
Tune in. Please do, everybody. And you can find me at Diet J on Twitter and Instagram, jlightcomedy.com for show dates, both live and online. And if you like the podcast, tell a friend and consider subscribing to the Patreon for bonus episodes and access to my film and TV library, y'all. Philip, this has been a pleasure. I can't believe so many critics love this movie and haven't listened to anybody who hates this movie, like pretty much everybody other than normal people.
I'm sure we're both completely wrong.
Well, we do have a part two, so don't forget. Thanks again, dude.
Fabians, it's fine.
Yeah. This has been Blockbusting. Go see something good for a change.